بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. Let's come forward and be mindful of those who are serving the salat. Alhamdulillah, we have with us tonight one of our asatiza ikram, Maulana Hassan Dokrat Saab Damat Barakatuhu, who comes from Johannesburg. Hazrat Maulana has taught for over 22 years in Darul Azadville, and currently he's a principal of the Darul Uloom in Johannesburg, which is part of the Jamiat. Alhamdulillah, Maulana is a vessel of knowledge. His colleagues and his students will bear testimony to this fact, that whenever we speak to him, he will share his words of wisdom with us, and he's always ever ready to assist us, to advise us whenever there's any problem, and we just make one phone call, no matter what part of the day or the night it may be, and he would give us very sound advice, always giving us words of encouragement and support. Alhamdulillah, he had a very close contact and relationship with Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi Alayh. And I can remember almost every visit that Maulana would come to Durban, he would make sure that he goes and visit Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. And Maulana had a special liking for him. There were many occasions, and after Maulana had left, then our Hazrat Maulana used to mention, or had words of praise for Hazrat Maulana Hassan Sahib Damat Barakatuh. Absolutely simple and excellent akhlaq, humility. Maulana hates when somebody praises him. He doesn't like any titles to his name. But we are saying these things so that we appreciate these great scholars that we have. And the akhlaq is something that we have to learn from them. Besides the knowledge that they are imparting, the beautiful character they display, and I think it is absolutely appropriate tonight. I just came across a riwayat this morning of Allama Suyuti Rahmatullahi Alayhi had mentioned, and Maulana's name is Hassan. So he gives a riwayat, An Abil Hassan, Anil Hassan, An Abil Hassan, An Jaddil Hassan, Inna Ahsan Al Hassan, Al Khuluqul Hassan. That the best of deeds is having good character. Hassan in Arabic means good. So inshallah we call upon Hazrat Maulana Hassan Sahib Damat Barakatuh to enlighten us, to share his words of wisdom with us inshallah. And we thank him for making this, sacrificing his time and coming tonight, although he just arrived, he's so tired also, but he's got such a long program tomorrow. But it is only his generosity, his kindness and mercy for us that he has made himself available tonight. Jazakum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wattaqu yawman turja'oon fihi ila Allah. Thumma tuwaffa kullu nafsin ma kasabat wa hum la yuzlamun. Respected ulama, Ahmadiyya brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that when a person is praised in a gathering, then he ought to take a handful of sand and throw it into his face. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi, once someone praised him profusely in a majlis, and Hazrat immediately took a handful of sand and threw it into his face and said that not only do I dislike your act, but what I'm doing is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If there was sand here, perhaps I would have done the same thing. Maybe I can give him a kick in the face. Nevertheless, Maulana mentioned something about a vessel of ilm. He forgot to qualify it with the adjective an empty vessel of ilm. Brothers, there is no preparation. MashaAllah, I see in the majma so many faces that are so familiar to me, many of our old Students who are now ulama, alhamdulillah, are sitting in the majlisiyam, so many of our saathis are here. Mawlana Shabir sahab, Mawlana Mahbub sahab, Mawlana Shabir, alhamdulillah. It makes it even more difficult for me to speak. But nevertheless, this is just merely a nasiha. You know, I mentioned to the students before also that Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi has mentioned one of his kitabs that there were two brothers once, and one stormy night, the one brother wasn't right in his head, he had lost his mind, and one stormy night they took shelter under close to a rock, and the brother who wasn't well, who wasn't right in his head, used to keep a feather in his turban all the time. Whether he was sleeping, whether he was awake, but he always had that feather with him. So one night, when the storm blew, and the two brothers took shelter behind a rock, during the storm, the wind must have blown the feather from this fellow's head onto the other fellow's head. So the next morning when they woke up, the mad brother says, that if you are me, then who am I? In other words, he saw the arrow in the other person's head. So this is it. We say things, and Allah knows best the haqiqat of all these things. I just read the other night that Ahlullah say that a true relationship between two people, a friendship between two people is when the one can say with regard to the other, ana, I. In other words, when the thing is exactly the same, when he can say that if the friend said something, then I say the same thing. If you become one, this is what you call ittihad fi nisbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and most of the Sahaba had this relationship where the Sahaba could say, I say so, meaning Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so. If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so, it could mean that my Sahaba and I are one. Nevertheless, I haven't prepared anything for this majlis, but the Imams have read tonight in the Isha Salat, the first rakah, the rest of the Hisna, وَسَيُجَنَّبُ وَالْأَتْقَى الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. That person who is muttaqi, he will be kept far from Jahannam. He will be kept away from Jahannam. The reason for it mentioned is, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ, that because he had given his wealth out in the path of Allah, he had spent on people. I'm not making chanda. He's giving us a short nasihat here. That because he gave out wealth to the deserving people, and he had purified his nafs, he had exerted himself in cleansing, his inner soul. Respected brothers, we always talk of ikhlas, that the most important ingredient in our a'mal is ikhlas, sincerity of intention. Undoubtedly, without ikhlas, our actions are useless. Without sincerity, there is nothing to our actions. The perfection of our actions is in sincerity of intention. But there's another aspect which we shouldn't forget, and that is the aspect of taqwa. Ikhlas is something required in your amal, in your action. But taqwa is that which urges you towards amal. If you have taqwa, then you will read your salah, you will make tilawat of Quran, you will give zakat, you will do everything else. If you have taqwa, you will refrain from sins. This is the importance of taqwa. In psychological terms, may even call taqwa the hidden observant. It's all observer. It's always lurking behind. Everything you do, you have to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be in front of you. Does Allah want me to do this action or does Allah not want me to do this action? It is not just a concept to talk about in here, but it's something to bring into amal. And taqwa is associated with action, with our a'mal. That everything we do must be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to check our niyat, we have to see, Ya Allah, that this action I'm doing, is it for Allah's pleasure or not? And at the same time, when we do some sin, then ask ourselves, what did we do? The taqwa is that which will refrain and keep you away from sin. So, I mentioned an ayah, at the beginning also, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ لَاللَّهِ. If I may ask you, that which was the first ayah revealed in the Quran, you all going to say اِقْرَأَ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ. We all know this. But this ayat is the last ayat which was revealed. Now look at the relationship between the two. The first ayat has to do with ilm.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. The first ayah has to do with ilm. And the last ayah of the Quran has to do with taqwa. And I said to you now that taqwa is associated with amal. So this is a combination of ilm and amal. That you seek knowledge. And the end of it all, the what you call natija, the result of it all is amal. My brothers, this taqwa is something which we must always keep in front of us. The Ahlullah say that قُسِمَتِ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْبَلْوَى وَقُسِمَتِ الْآخِرَةُ عَلَى التَّقْوَى. That this dunya, to earn this dunya you have to go through balwa. Balwa not halwa. Balwa means musibat. You're going to go through difficulty. If you want that money, you've got to open your shops. You've got to toil. You've got to earn. Everything in this dunya has to do with toiling. But akhirat requires taqwa. The share of akhirat is taqwa. Every deed we do is taqwa. The Ahlullah, I'm just narrating to you the aqwal of our Ahlullah. They say that la mu'in illallah. There is no helper but Allah. The only one who gives tawfiq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever good deeds you do, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La mu'ina illallah, wa la dalila illa Rasulullah. There is no guide but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they further say, wa la zada illa taqwa. There is no provision to go through this world, but with taqwa. Again, it is not just a concept. Wa la amala illa sabru ala taqwa. There is no amal but to make sabr on taqwa. So in everything it is taqwa. Taqwa simply means to have that conscience in us. That whatever we are doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of it. Are we doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we have this concept of taqwa before us, then there is no way that we will get involved in sin. I'm giving you some advice, but the person speaking requires advice even to a greater extent. We are all in need of this advice. But this is it, my brothers, that today we hear of so many things. Problems in the home. Problems outside the home. Husband and wife conflicts. The husband misbehaves and ill-treats the wife. The wife backchecks to the husband. All this is because of a lack of taqwa. If we knew that Allah is watching our every moment, Allah is hearing our every utterance, then we wouldn't behave this way. We wouldn't behave this way. So, in a nutshell, we have to inculcate this quality of taqwa. Just before you do, or while you're doing the action, ask yourself, is this what Allah wants from me? Is this what Allah wants from me? To speak harshly to the family, for the family to speak harshly to our husband, with our employees, and especially with our employees. How do we treat our employees? Is this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us? No, my brothers, this is not it. This is not it. There is something lacking in us. The Ahlullah, if I must start telling the qissas of our Ahlullah, we won't even believe it. It seems too far-fetched for us. It is too far-fetched for us because we find ourselves in a totally different environment. But they were examples of ours. Rasulullah s.a.w. was a final example and the greatest example, the finest example rather. Rasulullah s.a.w. says, عَلَيْكَ بِالتَّقْوَى فَإِنَّهُ جُمَّاعُ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. They take taqwa upon yourself. For taqwa is that which encompasses all good. Every amal and action is based on taqwa. I mentioned this earlier, I'll say it again, I will keep on saying it. That whatever we do, we require taqwa, we have to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us. When we read our salat, for example, we do a lot of things in salat which is not supposed to be there. But if you have the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah is watching us, then we won't do many things that we are doing in our salat. Same with our sawm, we fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, and fasting is also a lesson of taqwa. My brothers, there's not a single page in the Quran which doesn't mention the word taqwa. So when we fast, again for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. If we do something during our fast, whether it is ghibat or anything else, again it's against the dictates of taqwa. Allah give us the tawfiq to understand this. Yeah. My brothers, I'm going to drift to another aspect. Who are the people of taqwa? Who are the people of taqwa? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ مُجَاهِدُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That's, I won't go through the whole ayah, just two ayahs and we'll end up with this. Yeah. Who are these people who possess taqwa? Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ. the bandas of Rahman, the bondsmen of Rahman. Allah doesn't say wa ibadullah, He says wa ibadur Rahman. Now the question is, why does He say Rahman and not Allah? Wa ibadur Rahman and not ibadullah? Ulama have given answers. The one answer, simple answer would be that because the people of Makkah denied the concept of Rahman, they denied the existence of Rahman, they only knew Allah. Who is this Rahman, they used to ask? Who is this Rahman? So to refute them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa ibadur Rahman. That's a scholarly answer which we'll give. But the people with basirat and foresight and insight say, no, it's different. Allah says, wa ibadur Rahman, because Allah wants to tell you that, oh my banda, if I am Rahman, then you must be Rahim also. That the sifat of rahmat and shafqat, compassion, must be found in you. These are all related. Taqwa, all these things are related. One who has this taqwa, then automatically he will have that shafqat and rahmat in him. So he says, wa ibadur Rahman, those who have mercy. And Allah's mercy, Allah looked in the day of, look, Allah's mercy in this dunya, we know. Allah, every breath of air, Sheikh Sari rahmatullahi says, that every time we breathe in and out, we've got to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make shukr to Allah. Can you imagine if you breathe in and you can't breathe out? Or if you breathe out and you can't breathe in again? He says, every breath that you take in and out is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can never repay Allah ta'ala. So Allah's ni'mats and bounties in this dunya are tremendous. His mercy is tremendous. But look at the akhirah. It is mentioned in the riwayat how Allah looks for excuses to shower His rahmat on His bandas. It is mentioned in some riwayat that on the day of Qiyamah, two fellows will be taken out of Jahannam. Allah will say, bring these two fellows to me. It's a long riwayat. I'm just going to shorten it, condense it. So these two fellows will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala will ask the one that, He will ask both of them, what have you done in this dunya? What good deed can you present? It's a long discussion. They will just keep quiet. They've got nothing to say. Finally, Allah will tell them, both of you go back to Jahannam. Both of you go back to Jahannam. So the one fellow will turn around and run towards Jahannam and jump into Jahannam. And the other fellow will stand still. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then ask this person that, why is it you haven't obeyed, taken my order? He says, Ya Allah, this much, I'm ignorant of deen, but this much I know is that you are Rahman. And when Rahman takes someone out of Jahannam once, he doesn't put him back into Jahannam. So bearing this in mind, I decided I'm not going to go back into Jahannam to see what your attitude is going to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, bring the other fellow back. And He asks him, why did you go back into the fire? Why did you run? He says, Ya Allah, all my life I disobeyed you. Today at least one order and command of yours, let me make amal on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I forgive both of you and put both of them in Jahannam. Look at it, see, Allah looks for that excuse. He looks for the excuse to put the person in Jannah. That's why He's Rahman. Every day we recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We don't understand what we are saying. Allah's whole countenance is full of mercy and compassion. Quran Majid says, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Oh my bandas, don't lose hope in Allah's mercy. But again, my friends, we will become mustahid and rightful to His mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we have the taqwa in us. When we want to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One buzurg says that if Allah throws me in Jahannam, it's no problem. Look at the word. These are big people. We can't speak like that. If Allah puts me in Jahannam, it's no problem. Among the people of Jahannam, I'll tell them how merciful Allah is. These are the heights we must try and must endeavor to reach. I'm not saying we must all become Junaid Baghdadis overnight. It's not an impossibility. I said, maybe we may think it's not possible. But why not, my brothers? So in simple terms, my friends, ilm is required. Ilm requires amal. That ilm without amal is useless. It is absolutely useless. And with every amal, taqwa has to be found with it. Without the taqwa, then there is no amal again. Without niyat, there is no amal. There's no reward for that amal. And without taqwa, then the amal itself is useless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. There is much more we can say on this. As I said, the whole Quran talks of taqwa, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى, that the person who has taqwa in him will be kept away from Jahannam. Why? Because he spent in the way of Allah. Amal. Again, it's amal. Understand? He spent in the way of Allah and he purified himself. For me to sit on this seat here is very, very difficult. Firstly, because this seat was occupied by a very great person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. Allah give all those who surrounded him, give them sabra jameel and reward them. Hazrat Maulana was Hazrat Maulana. I can't say anything about him. As we say, that Sulaiman was Sulaiman and Hudhud was Hudhud. The bird is the bird, but Sulaiman was Sulaiman. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf rahmatullahi was one of his kind. Allah ta'ala had taken tremendous worth from him. Allah had really accepted him throughout the world. His death was what you call, came as a blow to every Muslim on this earth, I'm telling you. All those whom knew Maulana Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, to them it was great. But we take solace in the fact that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Hazrat Umar was bewildered, he lost his mind. He needed an Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to bring him to his senses. There was no loss greater than that. Life will carry on. We have those, mashallah, who are taking Maulana's place. Allah accept their efforts. Don't compare, my brothers, don't ever compare. That the person whom Allah chooses for a particular time, that is the person whom Allah has chosen. And so when responsibility comes on the person's shoulders, then you see the person blooming, you see the person shining. So, it was a loss for us, it's a loss for the ummah, but life continues. Hazrat Maulana, what you call legacy, has to continue. That islah of his, the nasihat which he gave the people, that guidance, the assistance which he rendered to people, all this has to continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. As I said, there was no preparation, just a few words on this year. Simply this year, that let us inculcate the concept of taqwa in us. For taqwa, inshallah, we will refrain from sins, and the urge to do good deeds will be created in us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghul mubin. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك وجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.